Listening to Pillarfield Talks.
Hey, thank you for joining us at Pillarfield Talks. We are back from our quick hiatus, and we're going to be talking about Modern Masters 2015 edition and some of the things we saw with it, expected, and just reactions to it.
Also, this is a very special all-live episode. Well, live in as much as we're all in the same room.
Live Earth. Yeah. We're more live, I guess.
Joined today, of course, by Mr. John J. J. John.
Really, John J. J. John? That's it? Okay. I guess that's my name now.
John Jacob.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah. Correct, yeah. So JJ's with us, Jared, of course, and then Chad.
How you doing? Did we get a hold of Perry?
No, we didn't even try. It's not like he can join us live here.
That's true, okay.
And without the headphones, like, everything's going to go to shit, like, audio quality-wise.
It's going to go full on.
Plus, it's Monday before 2, so I imagine he's at work.
That's a good point. So apologies to Perry for not... For having, like, a real person.
Dude, he'll never know that this happened. He doesn't listen to the podcast.
What is this, JJ? The only person who listens to the podcast is me. Presumably you don't, because you...
Edit it.
Yeah.
I listen to about, like, the first 5 minutes to make sure the audio quality is okay, and then I'm like, I'm just singing my own voice, man. I'm done.
Man, I guess if we already completed on any of them, then I can just be like, Harry is a butt.
Oh,
that's correct. Yeah.
You call out.
You can do that.
We actually insult each other on like almost every episode. If anyone ever leaves the room, they immediately become the class butt monkey.
In that case, the live episode might be a bad idea since we're all just insulting each other face to face. Really devolve into a fist fight.
Dude, our fans would love nothing more than hear us fist fight on the radio or something.
You just hear like the crunching of like skin on skin.
Oh, crunching of skin on skin.
I'm sorry, it's like...
Are we pre-baked here?
It's super like hot out, and like I just dried out and became brittle and paper-like.
It's very hot out. I won't punch hard.
Okay,
punch
so one of the first things I want to draw attention to is this little nugget here for Red's Mythic Rare.
Oh, Comet Storm? It is like it's an EDH thing. People like that card in EDH. Is that true? Did I make that up? I thought people did.
People do. That is a real thing. It's not like, it's not held up on any kind of particularly unique pedestal. It's just one of the many kind of good Red X barrels. But I guess it leads into a broader question. How much do we think that this set was really trying to appeal to, like, the casual EDH crowd? Because they seem to have reprinted a whole lot of casual rares, but that doesn't seem to jive with what they've marketed this set as.
Which is true, I guess. I mean, there are a lot of casual EDH rares, but there are also rares that are, like, super good in limited.
Yeah.
So, like, that's sort of, like, the forward-facing idea of these sets in the first place, is largely just to... make, like, a really fun, limited environment, and then, you know, the reprints are sort of secondary.
Well, I mean, they did make some compromises. What's the Sun Coronet, the white aura that's playing balls?
Daybreak Coronet. Thing definitely needed a reprint for price reasons, so it's good that they did that. Although, in this set, from what I've seen, there's not a lot of support for auras.
Oh, like, yeah, that was what I was bringing it up for. There's almost none.
Like, you'd have to pull two of them. No, you couldn't even pull two of them. You can never get the first one on. Jeez.
It's weird because, like,
it's just there to fuck up your draft if you're value drafting.
Well, if you're value drafting, you just take it. If you're not value drafting, that's when it's a
problem. Well, I'm saying, like, sometimes you can value draft and use the thing you've value drafted, but this one's just like, okay, get Daybreak Coronet. Know what I'm going for. You start drafting white, and it's like, where are the auras to go with this?
We're just presuming that you haven't looked at this set at all.
Yeah, you land face first on your draft.
I think a notable thing about this set and the fact that they're reprinting so many cards that are good in EDH is that now there's a new thing for people who are super into EDH to be really pretentious about, because now they'll know which version of a card you have because of the new brain. They'd be like, are you using the FNM Emrakul? As at least you're not using the shitty little sparkly dot Emrakul.
Oh, you're a sparkly dot hater?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it, personally.
Okay, I was worried this podcast was going to devolve into fist fights faster than you.
What, do you love the sparkly dots?
I love it. I love it.
You love it?
I love having tiny little mana symbols on
my cards.
I need
to resist the urge to look at you when you're talking. Because I just turn away from the microphone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's whatever. I certainly don't have any, like, strong feelings for that.
So I feel like they put a lot of EDH staples in this set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that's in the hopes to try to get EDH players to cross over into Modern? Or that they just really, they're hoping that these cards will become good in Modern? Or they're just for draft and that, you know, hey, someone else gets value out of this?
I think they are largely, mostly for draft. They do like to, it seems like somebody at Wizards, someone up there, is looking out for EDH players, because like a lot of these sets will come with these reprints that no one was really asking for, but they make them cheaper for the people who do want to
buy. I'm going to come back to Comet Storm here. This is a 94 cent card
and now they're reprinting
at Mythic Rare. I get that they want to, at Rare, it still keeps it out of draft and sealed pretty well. I don't know why someone has to have this as their Mythic Rare.
Well, to be fair, Comet Storm will just fucking, like, end the game in Limited.
But either way. Yeah, but check this out. Like, further down the page, we have Banefire.
That's true.
Yep.
Equally as good at ending a game out of nowhere. Even better, because it can't be countered if you're ending a game with it.
That's true. I guess, yeah, Banefire actually is better at ending a game.
And it's a rare.
Honestly, I think Jared's point is really good here, because if you're printing the card at Mythic, then you can't use the argument of, oh, it was printed for the sake of the draft environment to justify its inclusion, because it's almost never going to show up in the draft environment.
That's true. I mean, there are cards in here they really didn't need a reprint.
Like, I feel like they were like, we just need, we can't figure out what to put in this Mythic Rare slot that won't be too powerful and fuck up the power curve in red. And they were just like, fuck it, just don't give them anything.
Admittedly, it was narrow.
It's almost a blank space there.
Something that comes to mind is like Koth. Like the original Planeswalker Koth, that seems like something that they could have done.
Yeah.
At least have a price lowering value in next Comet Storm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Was Comet Storm originally printed at Mythic?
I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up.
What are you talking about?
Comet Storm. Was it called?
I have it right here.
I know it was in the Commander series.
Mythic for World Week.
So they wouldn't downgrade it.
They've done it before.
Yeah, they downgraded what was Sign of the Wilds or something. There's a green card in this set that was originally a rare from 10th edition.
Is it the one that, like, your power and toughness equal to number of creatures you control?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. That was a Mythic?
That was a rare.
That was a rare.
Oh, it's an uncommon now.
No, it's a common. Yeah, the rare straight to common.
Okay, well, that's... at least they don't have, like, a history of putting things at.
They have done it before with other cards, though, too. Right. But
do you think that's actually a bad thing to do? Because I'm not necessarily, just on the face of it, against them shifting rarities
no,
cards for sets like this.
All about them shifting rarities. Especially, like, when it, like, for instance, back when they shifted the rarity of Rancor from common to uncommon. That was probably a good move.
Yeah, especially in Innistrad, Limited. Like, if you were just opening, like, boatloads of Rancor.
Rancor was in an M set.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was in a core set. But
core set draft isn't fun anyway.
So. There are plenty of examples in this set and elsewhere of cards being rarity shifted up for the good of the draft environment. Like, remember in Tempest Remastered, there's that red X spell in there, Rolling Thunder, that was a common at the time Tempest came out. And it was just, like, red X. Deal X damage to as many things as you want with damage from your X spell.
Right.
And obviously you can't have that at common anymore in a set. So there's tons of examples of like broken old card getting shifted up for the sake of the draft environment, which much rarer it exists something downshifted from a higher rarity to a lower rarity.
Which I'm fine with because in this specific draft environment, some things just become weaker.
Right.
And, you know, there's no reason not to ship them down.
Basically, Comet Storm... Okay. I did scroll through, and it seems as though with Comet Storm and Kiki Jiki, which I'm sure we'll fucking get to, seems important enough to talk about, being printed at Mythic as Reds only two Mythics. That seems like they just needed another Red Mythic. Red is, like, almost comically underused.
Yeah,
in terms of, like, just, like, overall Magic the Gathering.
It seems almost comically under not good in this set too. Like they give Spike Shot Elder.
Yeah.
It's not like unless you get like a Dark Steel Axe, I don't know how you're boosting his power.
To be fair, in its day, Spike Shot Elder was really good.
Yeah. Wait, are you confusing? This is the one that was from the new art from Scarves, not the old one from the original Mirrodin. I remember that.
Spike Shot Goblin was one, and then they came out with Spike Shot Elder in the next one.
Was Elder also good in its day?
I don't think so.
No. Maybe I was.
Spike Shot Goblin was it was 3 mana, but you just tapped it and it dealt its power to target creature or player. And this one, like, it's 1 mana for a 1/1, and that was you can do the thing multiple times, but you have to pay 3 mana. So I guess you can use it multiple times in a turn, but I don't know. I don't think I've seen it be good. Like, I feel like red's just underpowered overall. It's got some burn spells, and then, hey, you're playing it because you pulled a lightning bolt, right?
It was always a rare?
Yeah, it was always a rare.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. We were referring to Hercule's Recall, which Chad was hurriedly Googling while looking for the spoiler list.
Yeah, I didn't actually think that it was a rare originally, because I have a version that came out before they had rarity symbols. That's, like, the one thing that I got before, like, Modern became popular and it spiked in price.
Now, one other problematic thing I want to touch on that there doesn't seem to be good support for is the, it seems like they want you to, someone to be the brave individual and draft a 5-color deck. Because what they have in here is they have All Suns Dawn, which is a green and 4 for a sorcery. For each color, return up to 1 target card of that color from your graveyard to your hand, exile All Suns Dawn. So, 5-color theme there, but more
than
that.
Domain cards also.
Yeah, there's Tribal Flames is the one that comes to mind. And then there's, let me find it. There's some of these knights that have, there's World Fire Phoenix.
Those guys with the multicolor activated abilities. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And, so there's definitely in the cards that help us shift towards multicolor.
And also Horde of Notion.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a $5 to $7 rare. It doesn't really need a reprint.
Oh.
However, there is an elemental theme to this, but that you got to push real hard.
Yeah, that's just like incidentally there because they reprinted cards from War of Fuck. So they were like,
I remember reading up a little bit. I forget the name of the actual guy behind design who was trying to make this. I think he never appeared on limited resources. I'm just using data there. But either way, I think it's an interesting solution to the like standard is it limited problem. Or oftentimes when you try and have like a blue-red theme, it's expected to be like something approximating Storm. Maybe not literally Storm, maybe something like...
An instant sorcery focused deck.
Yeah, right. With just playing lots of spells quickly. But that's really hard to pull off in a draft environment anyway that's both balanced and a thing you can actually do.
Right.
So you just kind of said, screw it, let's try something else, and scour through the card list and just found out there were a lot of coincidental elementals and combine them with all the Lorwyn Lord to try and make a theme for the set. Very odd, because I learned a lot of cards were elementals that I didn't know were elementals while looking over the spoiler.
Yeah, and one thing I want to touch on while we were talking about the 5-color needs here is some of our mana fixing, which I was shocked that there's no rare lands in this set. They've just got these terrible bounce lands.
The bounce lands are terrible.
Yeah, they're slow, but they're not bad. They were very, very good in their original printing.
Okay, I didn't get to play a little bit in that. But
yeah, because the idea is that even though they're slow, over time, they're essentially +1 mana per card. There's still a card that says tap to produce 2 mana on it, which is just a whole lot of costs involved to getting there.
Right. Here's another 5-color one, Etched Monstrosity.
Oh, yeah. I opened one of those. That one used to be a mythic and has been now down-rated to rare because it is useless.
Yeah. It is a 5/5, a 4, with a 5. Yeah.
It's close to useless at its cost, but I mean, if you were just playing a limited set of 5/5 for 5, I mean, colorless is still going to be okay with life.
But actual mana fixing in the set, at common we have Fear of the Suns, so 2 mana, you get your 1 at a time, 3 different colors that you might not have. Mm. Expedition map for your 1 of whatever you're playing. We also have Wayfarer's Bauble to try to get you closer there. And, I just noticed they are Skyreach Manta, who's in the set.
Was it one of the Sunburst?
It's a Sunburst Flyer.
There's a few Sunburst guys in the set.
Wow, they're They're pushing you in a weird direction for that one.
There's that myrrh, alloy myrrh? Yeah, I got downgraded to common. So that's a 3-mana 2-2? Yeah, 3-mana 2-2 that can fix mana for you pretty well.
Although, probably not really all that relevant a thing to say, I guess. But Skyrage Mana is actually not bad in limited, just generally, if you're playing like a 3-color deck. Because playing mana for a 3-3 with flying in a draft format is actually not terrible. This particular draft format is going to be a lot more powerful than most, but it's a fun time.
Some of the other
things... And you can actually play it, as opposed to the Eldrazi Titans.
That was the other thing. Looking through the set, do we actually think that the ramp is there, where if you pull, let's say, most strongest case, an Emrakul, can you ever reach 15 mana?
Yes, because it will happen exactly one time ever. Someone will open both Emrakul and Primetime.
Oh, okay.
And somehow manage to get to 15 mana over the course of the game.
I don't know. If you pull Primetime and you've used his ability enough to ramp that far,
they're probably
already
dead.
Won. Yeah. It's like you were sitting there with a Windmore Emrakul in your hand, like, next turn, man, I was going to get you.
I don't know.
But it's not like he has Trample or... Oh, wait.
Wait, he has Trample? Okay, he has Trample.
Primetime? Yeah, Primetime is like the best card.
Yeah, never mind.
That's
I'm
why
sorry.
He was banned.
I forgot that he had Trample. I keep thinking that prime time is always better than I believe him to be.
Yeah, I guess the best case would be like if you have a bunch of those bounce lands, you put prime time into play, you find bounce lands, you get your regular lands back, he attacks more bounce lands,
right.
Play regular lands.
See, prime time is like, he's like an urban legend of Magic the Gathering, if you don't regularly play modern, I guess. Mm-hmm. Where it's like every time that you think of Primetime, he magically obtains new abilities. It's like right now you think he's a 6/6 with Trample who gets you lands, but then like next time you look at it, he like suddenly has Hexproof. Like, yeah, it's like when you play this card, like take an extra turn after this one, and it costs 2 green mana.
The reason I think Primetime in particular is unique is, do we have any other ways in the set outside of this mythic rare to repeatedly ramp yourself with one card? Because things like the myrrh, all of the fixing artifacts, and all of the things that create Eldrazi spawn, they ramp you, but they ramp you kind of like temporarily. Like, this is the amount that you get. The only thing I could think of that would allow you to feasibly play like a true Eldrazi Titan in a draft deck would be some kind of control shell where you had a card that could just keep giving you more mana turn after turn. But I didn't see that. Spoiler.
Yeah, they didn't even do a Kadoma's Reach or anything in this set, even though they have a card that references Arcane.
Oh, Arcane Chalice. We do have Everflowing Chalice.
But that's kind of different. Like, what I'm saying something closer to, what's that? I think it's like a kite. It's a rare that costs, an artifact that costs 2 to play.
Pilgrim's Eye?
Correct. Something like that. Just allows you to draw a land of your choice every turn. Mm. That's the kind of effect that I thought would have been possible.
But isn't
that,
Maybe Pilgrim's Eye is just the one that gets you one.
I was thinking
right.
Journey's
Kite. Actually correct one.
They should have reprinted that because for being like...
Why are there so many artifact kites that
Dude, kites, man. Yeah, they're really popular in America. I don't know what I'm talking about. but I mean, we can sit here and talk about like these cards that get reprinted that we knew needed to be reprinted, like Spellskite.
Let's talk about this guy here.
Oh, long forgotten Gohi.
Yeah, this was in sorely need of not reprinting.
Dude, Spirit Tribal, right?
There is Spirit Tribal, but that's all it does. Is it's a very narrow pump for one set of creatures. And its secondary ability, where arcane spells you cast cost one less, is absolutely does nothing in this set. There's no arcane spells that I've seen. It's the biggest disappointment at Rare that they could have put anywhere. I mean, that could have been anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like to. There. I don't know. I mean, obviously we've talked
like,
about.
I like that they're doing Spirit Tribal. That's a clever, cool thing. But that is just if you're trying to make Spirit Tribal better. Just put Lingering... No, they can't do that yet. Okay, just...
Yeah.
No, they souls. Can't. No, they can't yet. Ever put Lingering Souls in anything ever again.
Well, it's just they're not there yet in the right. World of Modern Masters 15, 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anything could have been better than that, honestly. It's just anything else that makes a spirit or...
I'm not even sure it's good in the Spirit Tribal deck that exists in the set. Because most of the strategy built around the like Spirit and Arcane spells in the set... are based around recurring your own spirits and soul shift. It's like you're creating this weird engine where you're like sacrificing your own spirits and then bringing them back over and over again as they chump block themselves. It also makes the deck really hard to gauge in power level. I'm by no means like some expert drafter or anything, but I've heard people talking about in the run-up of the set who have been like practicing Sealed and things. So the spirit deck is supposed to be like one of the best things you can do in Modern Masters 2015 draft. But I'm looking at the individual cards and it's just not clicking with me yet. And I'm assuming that they just have to come together to build some kind of crazy engine. And Long Forgotten Gohi, for example, it's just like, it doesn't fit into that strategy at all. There's even less justification for printing it and taking up a rare slot.
Yeah, I guess they just really wanted to put some really shitty cards in the set. just so, like, you know, the guy who pays, like, $10 and gets a single pack can like, have a real feel-bad moment.
Right.
Like, a genuine, just, like, gut punch.
Because, of course, that's what their Wizards is really all about.
I've heard that, like, people were just coming out of the woodwork to try to get Modern Masters cards for this set because, like, the hype is so real this time. Everyone, like, was superiorly hyped it last time. And I guarantee that's just going to be a thing. It was just like, you know, Timmy comes out and he's just like, I hope I get my Emerald Pool because I like big, dumb creatures. And then, you know, you get Long Forgotten Gohi and... He quits Magic forever.
And they find him hanging from the rafters the next day.
I saw on the Magic subreddit, someone actually did the math for like average values and things of the set. Strangely enough, relative to its own price point, you will get a card that's worth more than the value of the pack that you got equally as often as any other set. I don't know if it works in the reverse. Like, you'll pay $10, and about one in every four times you'll get a card that's worth more than the $10 that you paid for Modern Masters. Evidently, that's about fair with most sets that are printed.
Okay, so I'm going to get fucked every time I draft.
Right. But what I'm worried about...
You get the 15 Norn the Warrior pack that we discussed.
In most sets, when packs are $4, you'll buy a pack and you get like a $1 card or something that will be shit. That's, in that statistic, counted as part of the bottom 75. But when the packs are $10, it's like you're much worse off if you rip open Long Forgotten Gohi and just burn a $10 bill.
Right.
You've lost more money in that case.
Yeah, this is like... This is one of the sets where it's like you look at the cards that have been reprinted and you're like, oh, I'm so glad. Because, like, you like open these cards when you buy a pack. But, like, they're $10 a pack and you're not going to buy the pack. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're probably going to draft it. Maybe get, like, prize support packs, maybe. Yeah. But otherwise, it's mostly, like, will we see a significant effect on the aftermarket value?
That was another thing that's I've got pulled up here, different statistics on like the EV of the boxes as they stand right now and like the pre-order prices that are going. Evidently, after you factor in all of the various things, a box of Modern Masters will come out to like roughly $250 or $60. The guy who does Dawn Glare, that's the name of the place I just remembered. The guy who does the Dawn Glare website, you go online to look up all the information, he ran the numbers on it. Found that it was like roughly $250 as it stands today. That's your average EV from the box.
Yeah, but just knowing these cards exist is already dropping the prices. Bitter Blossom's gone down like $10 already.
Because it's also the pre-order price. The pre-order price is also that $250. So if you're pre-ordering for the boxes now, the value of the cards that you're pulling is going to fall way, way further. Particularly with any of the high-value money cards that are rare.
So drafting it'll be fun. You can get some value out of it that way, hopefully. But, yeah. Oh man, now I have to hard to want to draft it. Oh yeah, by the way, going to Vegas.
What?
Hotel rooms are booked. I booked the main event like 3 months ago. Yeah, I'm going to like I got.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I got my government money back from taxes.
Government money.
Government money. I'm using my welfare check to go to Vegas. By the way, listeners, it's not true. I get my tax return, and I just stuffed it all in a savings account, and I'm like, I'm going to Vegas. I was originally going to go anyway, because like I listen to other podcasters,
right.
And they have super hyped the event. And right. I think most of their hype was because they rented a house together and just got blisteringly drunk and had a good time. Wasn't so much the main events.
Right.
But I was like super hyped about it and excited, so like I was like, I'm going to make it. I went to my girlfriend, like, I'm going to this event. If you want to go, you can too. And she's like, we're going to Vegas. She took it over, and then she made her own vacation out of it. I'm just loosely involved.
Right. yeah, that'll happen.
I'm going to require photographs from that. I have no idea what 10,000 people playing Magic the Gathering in a room is going to look like.
It's at 6,000 right now. I imagine, like, once it gets real close, we're going to see, like, a big spike. I don't know if we'll hit the cap, though.
Well, how many people were in Richmond?
So we're close to 3,000?
Yeah, like, three. Yeah. I remember it was really close to being the biggest one, but Vegas still beat it out. In case you're wondering what 3,000 people playing Magic looks like,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Lots of butts hanging out, though, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. dated reference.
If you want to go, JJ, just, you know, get your stuff ready. We got a hotel room already.
Jesus, we? Who's? Oh, you?
Me, Nicole, and then her best friend from high school.
What's the date?
The very end of this month. It's like the... We'll look it up.
No.
We should know this.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. But it'll learn better. Either way, I've already got one vacation planned. Vacation, open quotes.
Everybody has vacations planned.
Oh, by the way, listeners, also the weekend after I get the time off, I'm going to Origins. I'm going to be trying to participate in the modern event for Star City Games. And also I might be trying to participate and qualify for the World Championship of Dice Masters.
My lord. So much community involvement.
Yeah. I will probably be going to Origins for... 1 or 2 days, depending on if I get the time off work. But mostly to play Modern. Keep an eye out for Chad playing, what is it called? Esper Deathfolk.
Okay, okay.
Which is my new name for Grand Merfolk.
I was worried that you weren't going to connect it to a deck there, so you were just going to have all these listeners looking around, trying to match, you know, your face to a person they've never seen before.
Just keep a lookout for me, who you will not recognize.
Ask everyone if their name is Chad.
How will I know it's you? You'll know.
You'll hear my voice and my laugh, and it'll be distinctive, and I'll probably be making puns as well.
Yeah. Well, apparently, yeah, don't confuse me with Louise Scott Barnes. Because apparently, as I was told, I tried to look this up, but all I could find was a draft video which just showed the side of his face. But I guess at this most recent GP, which I should probably say what it is because this won't go out today. Do you know what the GP was?
Oh,
Paris.
The one in the US that you didn't know.
Oh, I guess there was no coverage. I looked on Twitch and I didn't like I saw Paris on there all the time, but nothing else.
Yeah. Well, the GP that took place between May 8th and May 10th. Apparently, according to my friends, Louis Scott Vargas was pulling a mad me and looked just like me. It was just weird and creepy.
Wearing a Toasters t-shirt.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, so I found it. Grand Prix Vegas, May 28th through 31st. I'll be there. If you want to, I don't know why you would, but for some reason, if you want to meet me there, try getting a hold of me at the Pillar Field Talk
on Twitter.
You can also try to get a hold of me and Chad through that same route at when we go to Origins the following weekend.
The audio wave spiked so hard. Oh man, this is the first time I've been able to do a tweet us up without like a bunch of people around me, so I get to just be a jackass. Finally, that one's been building for weeks.
Yeah, it's been like a month since we podcasted.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to the GP, are you actually going to play the main event? Are you going to draft this set?
Oh yeah, I'm going to play the main event. The only reason I would not play the main event is if like. The packs I opened had like 2 Vendillion clicks and, you know, something else. Like, that'd be enough. Like, a Vendillion click and then some other great card. Because I want to play Blue Black Fairies. I don't have any VV clicks. And that's my main thing holding me back. That and Cryptic Commands. Yeah, if I opened a Cryptic Command and a V click, I'd be like, okay, I can drop and I'll just start drafting and find the rest of the set. But, other than that, I will most likely play the main event until like I just get so far beat down that I decide that there's no point to go, and then I'm going to draft the set like crazy.
I see.
I'm also going to do some side events because I want to come back with about 3 or 4 of those Vendillion Clicks side event playmats.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about that.
I imagine that the trade fodder on those alone just like get me some good value in sets coming up. Be like, oh, yes, I want these 4 expensive cards, and... here's an exclusive playmat from an event that only 10,000 people went to.
Exclusive. Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, all the people on the planet.
Yeah.
It's a lot. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Still.
Oh, yeah, I was talking to you about this earlier, Chad. I mean, we were talking about how, like, the actual GP playmat you get just for showing up is, like, kind of, like, underwhelming.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, maybe I'll just hold on to mine, and because, like, you know, everybody there will want to trade theirs in, it'll be really rare to have it.
Right. Except they probably aren't going to take all of them in for trade and then just burn them.
Yeah, I'll just like, hand them out. If you order 99 cents worth of cards, you get a free GP Vegas playmat.
Right. Which I will be totally doing and then pretending that I went to GP Vegas. I was held at gunpoint and they took all my cards, but I still have a playmat.
I went, I got this playmat, I became so excited that I passed out after round one.
I woke up in the medical tent 3 days later.
I have no memories of it, but it was. I'm gonna put the hype out there. It was the greatest thing ever.
Are there any cards you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, I'm sure there are. Yeah.
I'm curious if you guys think that it was at all. I mean, I feel like it was kind of expected, and I feel like it's a way for them to cheat not having to do it in the fall. But do we think it was necessary for them to reprint the Eldrazi Titans?
No. Necessary?
No.
Like, are they even really high-value cards based on...
Well, we already know that they wouldn't be able to, in the fall, they wouldn't be able to, because as the story goes, only one of the... I think it's Kozilek? Is he the only one?
No, it's Ulamog.
Ulamog
is still on the planet with the rest of...
Ulamog? That's the one that everyone cares the least about.
Well, you're going to care the most about him in the fall, because he's the only one left.
Yeah.
He's like on like the cast of Community. If Chevy Chase or Donald Glover were your favorite, well, now you've got a new favorite, right?
Jesus. Yeah, well, okay. Well, my thing is that I don't feel like with the audience that this set is aimed toward, that the Eldrazi Titans are really like are sales points. Like, I don't think that a lot of people are buying this set to get a Kozilek. Like,
I'm certainly not.
I mean that sees play in a lot of different Eternal
Forms. Didn't they just give it out as a promo? Why do I think that?
I think it was a promo for pre-release at one point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If you're, I don't remember reading that.
Although, with the last couple years of things that have been given out for promos, they're all like things that only get used in Legacy most of the time, so
yeah.
Might as well just save Emrakul for
one
of those.
Yeah.
I don't think, just intrinsically, I'll ever think it's a bad thing that they reprint a card that's not on the reserve list that purchase a cost of upwards of $40, as all of these cards do.
I guess if they're going to make a way to actually put him in play that's not Elvish Piper, or the Quicksilver Amulet or something, if it's not going to be like one of those ways how you're supposed to get him in, and they're going to put a whole theme to try to make it so you can play their key cards that they spoiled first, I guess they might as well throw the other ones in so there's a chance that whole strategy just isn't bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
but they're all at Mythic, so that kind of strategy is basically bullshit to begin with.
Right.
Like, everything that you need that mana for is at Mythic Rare.
Well, okay. Ulamog's Crusher and Artisan of Kozilek are at Common and Uncommon, respectively. You have some targets.
Yeah, just keep passing those.
Okay, if we're going to ignore the draft argument about the Titans, and we're going to ignore the hype argument about them,
Stop calling them Titans. They're Eldrazi.
Well, yeah, but they're the Eldrazi. I think they're called
Eldrazi,
Titans, right?
Yeah, they're just called
the Eldrazi Titans, because they're the three big ones.
Just call them
the Eldrazi.
The Mama Eldrazi.
The
Mamas and the Papas the Spaghetti Monsters.
Yeah, they're the ones who are making all the other little Eldrazi.
Yeah, right. Technically speaking, I think both are correct, because, like, the little Eldrazis are supposed to be just, like, emanations of their being or some weird bullshit like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Annihilator is supposed to represent the fact that, like, their mere presence, like, destroys, like, the infrastructure of reality.
Yeah.
Or some shit. They're put on, like, they're, like, made out to seem, like, way more insanely destructive than they actually are. That being said, they're all cards that just win you the game when you play them. But so is Worlds by more. So, but either way, nah, I totally don't remember what I was going to bring up now.
No, I guess it was just complete shit and we don't
care. It was probably the worst.
Yeah.
Emrakul is, like you said, you don't have like a problem with them reprinting a card that's pushing $40 that isn't on the reserve. But like,
just put in an F set.
Well, I'm thinking like, what?
Or,
like,
sorry, FTV set. That's what it's.
Right. Oh, like FTVAngels.com.
That's right. Log already.
In fact, if you join FTVAngels.com, you'll get a complimentary Emrakul the Aeon's Torn.
That's actually they one of the
like guaranteed that.
One of the starlets on we're gonna use the term starlets. One of the starlets on FTV Angels renamed herself Emrakul the Aeon's Torn.
Oh man, you should see her Aeon now.
Anyway, when decks play Emrakul, the majority of them are like so. In Legacy, at least, because I guess there are a few modern decks that want to run Emrakul. But the majority of them are Legacy decks where Emrakul is like a drop in the bucket as compared to a lot of the cards that you need for the deck. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously they're not printing Legacy like, Masters.
Drop in the bucket financially?
Oh, yeah. Like, primary win condition, yes, but financially not.
Yeah, much. Sneak Attack, Show and Tell are both huge investments.
Yeah. Dual lands.
Yeah, that was just the mana base alone
and all these volcanic islands. Yeah.
However, Karn Liberated, excellent reprint choice.
Yeah, the Tron is still a thing. It's a bummer to play against, but it's still a thing. So it's good. It's good of them to put that guy in there. Although I am confused by their selection of Tezzeret the Seeker. I was expecting a much more, you know, maybe a Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas.
I mean, he had a lot of various casual from that play. I think he was into like double digit dollar price range. I forget the exact pre.
Well, all planeswalkers should be double digits. Essentially.
All of them.
Not all of them, but like, yeah, I looked him up before like they spoiled him, and he was around like $15.
Yeah,
like that's where a planeswalker can comfortably sit.
If it's good, obviously, yeah. When I put together my Super Friends deck, like, I was paying, I'd say, approximately 10 for most of the planeswalkers that I ended up buying.
Yeah.
And, of course, there are ones that are, like, dirt cheap, like Tybalt.
Yeah.
The go-to dirt cheap planeswalker.
Tybalt, the planeswalker. He's, like, planeswalker on training wheels.
Right.
I'll get a one day, guys!
He has training wheels because every time that he puts a new wheel on his bike, one of them inexplicably falls off.
Like, all these screwdrivers work.
The fact that he needs training wheels is really a good representation of how easily his abilities can, like, accidentally screw himself over or the player over.
Oh, yeah.
I jumped to a different plane. It was all water. It was terrible. I envisioned a plane that was not all water, and I went right back.
But yeah, hopefully they put the reprint pushes Tezzeret to sub 10, and I'll probably hit a little.
I really want to mess around with a modern Tezzerator type of deck.
Mm-hmm.
So
Tezzeret's super cool,
isn't it? Like, but Agent of Bolas is the one I want more. Right. So, like, now my hand is forced to pick them up before like their price goes up because him not getting a reprint here, I think, like shows that it's going to be a while. So might as well grab him while he can.
So, reprinting, again, Dark Confidant, Tarmogoyf. What's up with that?
Because they are still super expensive. Tarmogoyf price. They actually got the Modern Masters, the original, huge success in that it got more people interested in playing Modern.
Right.
And with that, everyone wanted a Tarmogoyf because it was the best creature, apparently.
No one wanted four Tarmogoyfs.
And, everyone wants four Tarmogoyfs, and the price went up. So that has still not been fixed. So yeah, reprint them. You have to. I want them. So honestly, shift his rarity back down to rare.
Right.
Do the Yu-Gi-Oh thing. Print them at common until people are happy.
Right.
This is like you want people to play your format. You're not really concerned. I guess they're aware of the secondary market, but it's definitely not their primary consideration most of the time.
Tarmogoyf seems to be one of those things that like. They've gone so far into that they can no longer back out.
Define that further. What do I go into?
Like, they hand Tarmogoyf, and they're like, okay, card. It seems pretty good. People are like, yeah, Tarmogoyf's good. They played it. Then Modern became a format, and Tarmogoyf went through the roof, because it is a really fucking good card. And so the price went up even further. Modern got more popular, price went up some more, so they were like, we need to bring the price down on this card. So, they reprinted it, and then it didn't work. Price stayed the same, And so now they reprinted it a second time. So basically, under no circumstances could they ever be like, just no Tarmogoyf. Like, it couldn't, like, ban Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, there's really no reason to ban Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, he's not, like, broken. It's just, it's really unhealthy.
Yeah.
For, like, the...
So at this point, because there's a card that's, you know, they want to make it so that the format isn't prohibitive to play, like, where Legacy got to real quick.
Right.
So they, like, when they reprinted Tarmogoyf and his price went up, it was just like, you know, the foot went in the mouth, and they're like, uh-oh.
So a lot of this is like foot and mouth. In fact, Tarmogoyf itself was actually a
mistake.
Error.
Yeah. Like, that's one of my favorite stories about, like, Wizards just, you know, putting a dick on as a hat.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, right before the thing goes to print, I need you to put this card back in. And the guy's like, well, I don't have a copy of it, so what do I remember about it?
Right.
Okay, hope that works.
Design on the fly there, yeah.
As far as Dark Confidant, also is like a $80-$90 card that needs to come down to. He's not broken by any means. Might as well print them out.
Right.
As long as you have these cards that are, well, that's what this whole set is about, is staples of Modern. Putting them out there so more people can have access to them. And as long as these are staples, keep them in the set.
All right. Well, this is the thing. Dark Confidant is almost not a staple anymore.
Junk's coming back.
Junk is coming back, and that has a lot to do with the fact that Junk is now more popular. I mean, that's the metagame shifting and, you know, up and downs or whatever.
Wait, I was under the impression that Modern Junk is starting to not play Confidence, instead play...
Well, no, Junk, I don't think, really
Junk
ever
never
played Confidant.
Yeah,
it's just maybe... Junk is better against Junk.
Oh, wow.
Because it's so, like, the attrition-based, it's really nice to be able to rip, like, stabilizing cards out of their hand with all the hand disruption. You're not sure on creature removal. It's just the matchup is solid. In fact, I've seen a Jund versus Junk game, and it is super cool to watch. It's, like, really chunky. Like, it's just, like, big things hit the table and, like, get exploded, and it's like, the magic movie should be Jund v. Junk.
I think that tagline might confuse some of the broader audiences and viewers.
Magic the Gathering, colon, Jund v. Junk.
I guess, like, technically it would have to be Jund versus
Abzan.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Is this like
cross-dimensional?
This is a candy bar movie? What are these things? I'm really confused by Iona, the Shield of Emeria.
She was crazy expensive. Honest to God, I don't know what she's playing
in
the competitive formats.
Linvala is just a better choice.
I
feel like they're going to put Linvala in FTVangels.com, but
I feel like
Linvala is the better choice for this set. And this she could have been put in FTVangels.com and have been just fine.
Right.
Iona should have? Or
Iona seems like
the size ratio seems like it might be problematic. If you look at the Iona art, right, those are human beings right there. She is that large. She is like the size of a mountain.
And she's 7'7", and a 4'4" is bigger than a horse. I've discussed this before. I hate size in these cards.
Yeah, it seems difficult how you could incorporate a woman the size of a mountain into, you know, FDVAngels.com.
Oh, you're talking about .com specifically.
Yeah.
There are so many fetish films you can make with that.
Yeah,
no,
like,
idea.
There's totally a thing. Like, get people really into...
giant women.
Like, yeah, like being, yeah, like huge.
Like, but like literally giant women?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and like, you know, size of a New York skyscraper women.
Yeah,
okay.
Like just huge.
Okay.
Huge.
Like where you do, like, you know, like, what's that movie?
Did you say Reed Duke?
No.
Yes, Reed Duke.
I said Reed
Duke.
It's like, oh, yes. It's an accusatory.
No,
it's right here.
Reed
Duke.
No,
mountain women.
They're going to do, because I can't remember the classic film that does it, they're going to do a magic school bus where they go inside the woman. Isn't this cool? And
yeah, like an amazing journey kind of thing.
Yeah, it becomes strangely sexual real fast. It's just like, well, we've explored the lungs, how about we go up to the vagina and stay there for 45 minutes.
They have that loose plot to tie everything together.
It's like, oh, the sub is expanding and she's liking it.
Also, if anybody is into mountain women, it's Patrick Sullivan.
Got it.
Pillarfield Talks, where no one likes us. Yeah, but yeah, Dirk Confidence. Dirk Confidence is seeing less and less play.
Is that like an off-brand priest? It's like, you can tell me anything.
I'm Dirk Confidence. It's just a priest with like a domino mask on. Christ almighty.
Okay.
We should move on.
Yeah, we've complained a lot. We are still happy that this set exists.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I noticed that you didn't complain about Vendillion Click being in there.
Oh, no, Vendillion Click should just be.
Yeah, Vendillion Click definitely needs to come down in price.
Yep.
Kiki Jiki, I think that he's, like, moderately okay. He's not used intensely, but he's just a really cool guy. So he's one of my favorite creatures in all of Magic, so I'm not going to complain about him being there.
The thing with Vendillion Click, and the reason I didn't, not necessarily the reason I didn't complain, but the reason it didn't pop into my head that I should be complaining. Because I should just be complaining about everything. is, like, you get hit with, like, a Thoughtseize. It's kind of like a feel-bad thing, where you're like, I use my hand, take the thing I needed, and throw it in the garbage can. Vendillion Click comes down, I don't know if everybody scores all of their Magic games in their head, but, like, Vendillion Click hits the table, it's just like, bum bum.
Just like, by scores, what? You meant literally a musical score.
Right.
My bad.
So, like, when they hits the table, all of a sudden, all of these options are there. Because it's like, you can get hit, and they can take what you need, but then you get that lottery. You get the card off the top of your deck. Or they could click themselves, and then that's like, you're like, when they click themselves, you don't even know where you stand in the game anymore.
Well, you do, because you get to see their hand.
Oh, yeah.
I've never even owned a Vendillion Click, but it is up there one of my favorite blue designs. I just really like it. It's powerful, but not like inherently unfair in any way that I can really identify.
And the new art is crazy.
You cool. Don't actually reveal your hand. It's just you look at it. So if you choose yourself, you just look at your hand and pick one out. Yeah. Kurt's
like
super good.
What? You like the Powerpuff Girls art?
Yeah, definitely. This is awesome. This is great. I love this art.
Yeah, I like this art a lot as well.
The plane art really does do it justice. Yeah. It's looking at a mythic spoiler. It's much tinier. Details get obscured, of course.
Fairy art, I'm really divided on personally. Like, I really like Lorwyn's, like, art direction generally, but the fairies were always, like, some kind of border of, like, I really liked what they looked like, but then sometimes they would creep me the fuck out. Like, Flatseas? It's a fairy diving into somebody's brain?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So the fairies themselves are cute, but the activities they do are horrible.
Look at this, like, the Bitter Blossom fairy that's, like, just, she didn't, God. Like, well, she has butterfly wings, which I guess they all kind of do.
Yeah.
And, like, is flying around with, like, long hair. They're creepy, man. They're, like, they're sirens and shit.
So,
I don't know.
This is also, I'm glad that Bitter Blossom's in here. I already have my four, but I desperately need fairy tokens.
Right.
There have been no prints of those. So if you guys draft any of this and you get a fairy token or someone else pulls one, collect them up for me, because I'm constantly playing this card right now.
You guys being the listeners, you can send an email to
Philip. I'll let you know a secret drop point to drop them for me.
At GP Vegas.
Put it in, we'll give you a street address and, like, a plant, and we'll spray paint an X on it. Just put them in the dirt.
If you're at GP Vegas and want to give me some fairy tokens, I'm all about that. You know, once again, get a hold of me at Pillarfield Talk. I will come collect them from you. Maybe I'll give you some candy or something.
Hmm.
The other high-value token, the Thrall token from Endrick Sar, Master Breeder. The only reason that card exists in this set.
Could Endrick... I don't even know if anybody wants to talk about this. Could that card work in Modern? Because I think it's pretty cool.
He doesn't do anything the turn he comes down, and that's why he's just... He doesn't change the board a whole lot. Because, like, what are his base stats?
He's a 2-2 for 5.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's like, he has to stick around for you to cast your Seed Rhino.
Right. Such a cool dude, though.
They included him specifically to keep things on theme. He works really well with sort of the black sacrifice thing.
Just going to be straight good.
Yeah, I would draft him in a second.
Like, and the Thrall tokens before this, they were previously, I don't even know where it was from, I just remember looking it up on one of the price websites. They were like $3 a piece for Thrall tokens.
No, the Thrall tokens from this guy, are those the ones that are like all, like, four arms and a head?
I have not seen them. I remember, forget what they look like.
I think they are.
But in the art, it depicts the crazy, multi-armed, creepy tokens.
Because I know on the Mothership, they had a Tokens of Modern Masters 2015, and the Thrall one was really... I think that was a really cool looking.
I'll pull up.
Oh, yeah, other great token reprint, the original Eldrazi spawn tokens. Those were incredibly hard to find.
The fairy rogue tokens there.
Yeah, they're not as cool as the original, but...
You don't like roses?
Okay.
Oh, I'm cool with them.
I'd actually never seen the Eldrazi spawn tokens before.
Oh, man. Is your life
okay.
better now?
This is, I guess...
Each one of them makes a different kind.
What, like, Kozilek?
Ulamog?
Ulamog, Kozilek, Elmercool.
Right.
Right. Which...
To the listeners, I'm sure that's great.
We all pointed at the screen, so you knew which ones we were talking about. The Kozilek ones look like hot trash.
What? They're easily my favorite. They're like crazy and psychedelic.
Like, it's a technicolor spider. Yeah. It's like, okay.
It's dazzling. It's casting dazzling lights on you.
The Evergreen one is sick as hell. Fucking the boomer from Left 4 Dead mixed with a squid, maybe?
They're all pretty cool, I think.
The Kozilek token is supposed to be this like crazy unknowable monster. Oh, there's the Thrall token.
It is
the horrifying multi-armed creature.
It's arms.
Yeah,
it's all arms.
It's a four-armed, I guess not spider, it's not arms for that.
It's just arms and a head.
It has arms instead of legs and no torso.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
Or neck or...
I love the elephant token. It's got some raging green eyes.
Right.
Oh, that's existed before. I don't know if this was the first printing of it, but it was on the back side of the most recent Commander product tokens.
Okay.
I like this insect token here is really small and on some dude's leg, it looks like.
That's wood, Chad.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's not like a hairy leg?
Yes. Why does your leg look like wood? Why do you think legs look like wood, Chad?
Because he's got those legs from American Horse.
Yeah, I told you not to bring that up on the podcast, but I have two wooden legs like a pirate.
So now, if you guys are out looking for Chad, just look for LSV with wooden pirate legs.
That is exactly what I look like.
I keep looking at Mirror Entity, I'm like, did that need reprinted? But Mirror Entity in any kind of tokens deck is just awesome.
Mirror Entity is also the one way that I found to make a Dromoka the Eternal actually good. Because if you activate its ability, all of your creatures become dragons, and then you sling it and everything just becomes a billion. Because you just have 1,000 bolster triggers.
Clearly they're trying to push that for Modern. That's,
It's the Dromoka the Eternal Modern deck that's going to come out. Oh man. So
I believe relevant to anything. The Thunderblust card, the mono red thing, mm-hmm. right there. I didn't even know that was a card. Presumably it's there because it in some way synergizes with the elemental theme, but I had just never even seen it before, and I assumed it much like the Magmar joke that got put up at the beginning of spoiler season. I thought it might have also been a joke. I was wrong, it was not a joke. It was a real thing.
Well, hold on. I don't actually know what Horde of Nations actually does.
I've never used the secondary ability.
It's okay, so it's a Wooburg to regenerate
regenerate, just pull it out of your graveyard and put it on the field. So any ETB.
So reanimate, I guess.
A lot of the elementals in draft in the set, their theme is supposed to be making big mana really fast or cheating things into play.
Hmm. Well, Thunderblast is cool. I like it.
It's neat art.
Well, it's neat art, but I mean, I've always been a fan of ball lightning type cards, mm-hmm. and that's just what this guy is. Yeah. Well, I guess after he dies once.
hopefully, get the power combo of this guy's player.
He's a baller lightning and a ball lightning.
Yeah. Dude, if you. They should have reprinted Fling in this set. So you can fling your Thunderblast and then attack. Oh man, that's insane! That's so much damage. If you did Fling Thunderblast, and then he would persist, and then he still has haste, so you can just attack the same turn.
You bringing up Twin reminded me. They really, I was so certain, they really chose not to reprint either of the blue combo enablers for Twin or Kiki Jiki in the set.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Really?
Oops, I win. During competetive draft,
it's
largest
Storm
draft
existed.
Environment ever.
Storm existed in the original Modern Masters.
Well, yeah, that's
the ultimate
so,
oops, I win
even so hard.
You have to work for it.
Yeah.
You have to draft all the right pieces. It has to be given to you. This is just like I open up the rare. Okay, I put it in front of me. Someone passes me the other one because they didn't open up the same rare. There we go.
Yeah. And, it would be way too easy to assemble the combo if you opened Splinter Twin.
Plus,
the cards aren't hard to get a hold of. Yeah. I have, three Pester Mites just sitting around incidentally.
Like, it's just, you have both Splinter Twin and Kiki-Jiki in this set as well.
Oh, yeah, so you have two shots at it.
Yeah, I know Kiki-Jiki is a mythic rare, but still, that's, like, adding some incremental, like possibility.
Yeah.
You like, just and the original set, it was just Kiki-Jiki. So that was a really low chance it was going to happen. Now Splinter Twin at rare bumps it up considerably. And putting both of those creatures that blue creatures that enabled are commons. They're not going to bump them up to uncommon, I don't believe. So
alright, I'll continue the point there. Yeah. But regardless, nothing can excuse the lack of zero visions.
Oh, that's very true. It was something we were all calling. Yeah. Wait, there is one thing I would say might excuse it. That's exactly what they did with Path to Exile. What if the F&M promo that they haven't revealed yet that's going to be modern staple is Serum Visions?
Has the printing of an F&M promo, and this is open question, I'm not trying to be rhetorical here, ever reduced the price of the card?
Basically, it's the F&M promos have always been slightly cheaper than the pack version.
But
really? They're foil.
But they're just more...
There's so many of them out there.
Yeah, I understand why they'd be cheaper comparison to the foil of the same card.
Well, no, I'm not even saying foil. Because, like, if you look at, I just picked up Glissa, and the, like, pack Glissa is, like, a dollar or two more expensive than the F&M.
That wasn't an F&M promo, I don't think.
It was maybe a pre-release?
Pre-release, yeah.
Yeah, it had a timestamp on it. Knows I can understand why that would be cheaper because the...
Everyone has one. Yeah. Okay, well in that case I'm not actually 100%.
Like, I refuse to believe that the F&M Path to Exile that we're getting, that even though the art's kind of in comparison to the other Path arts, is going to actually be cheaper than just like a straight regular Path.
I haven't actually seen the new Path art.
Go ahead and Google it up. There you go, that's the art.
Oh, that's trash.
What? It's not bad.
It's trash.
You're so strong.
It's like fucking Legend of Korra to Exile.
Are you suggesting that Legend of Korra is trash?
I'm suggesting that it has like a weird anime art style that I don't really get behind.
I have no idea what's
fucking
anime about
poofy
that.
Hair and
what are you talking about? It's just hair.
Yeah, it's blowing in the wind because this is like a vortex. It's swirling everything around it.
Yeah. What is anime about blowing hair?
It's just, he doesn't like it, therefore it's anime because he doesn't like anime.
Right, yeah, I'm just that, like, brash about it. Okay, fuck off. Yeah, whatever. I like the snake disintegrating. That's my favorite path art.
Yeah, he ate, like, a really burnt steak the other day. He's like, this is so anime.
This is an anime steak.
Anyway, so yeah.
He's just like, it's all one-dimensional, and there's no character development, and I'm like, man, have you seen
the steak?
Do you know anything about Cowboy Bebop steak?
Is it like Ghost in the Steak?
That seems unpleasant.
It's pretty good.
Ghost in the Steak is all steak.
I didn't mind it.
It's just a regular steak haunted by the appropriate piece of the cow that it was from.
Right. Yeah. It's like a floating cow's ass.
It's like,
good discussion on Magic the Gathering, you guys. Well, we finally have proof that Wizards listens to our podcast with the Scoop Mob.
Yeah!
They finally did it, Scoop Mob. Because that card was impossible to find.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna draft the hell out of Scoop Mob.
Oh yeah, I would play so many Scoop Mob. I mean, it's probably not even that good in draft. I don't actually know.
Oh, especially if you're playing the Bounce Lands.
Right.
You're like drafting Bounce Lands earlier, this guy's in your third pack, and you're like, maybe. Maybe I'll try it anyway.
Oh man. Dude, I want the Scoop Mob, Insect Queen is the thing called?
Oh, Ant Queen.
Ant Queen. Yeah. That creates insect tokens. Yeah. I want the Scoop Mob Ant Queen Insect Tribal draft deck.
Another thing in desperate need of a reprint for Modern Masters 2015.
It's Ant Queen?
Ant Queen, yeah.
Well, I mean, everyone liked Hornet Queen so much.
They're just like, oh, we're going to go on the Queen kick.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we only have a few in Eddie Mercury.
Dude, they should, they should reprint the Hive from Alpha.
No, dude.
It's 7 mana for a 1/1 flying insect. All right, so we're now, unless you guys want to talk about like surgical extraction or something.
As cool as there.
Yeah, I like that card.
Yeah,
it's a good card.
It needed like a little help getting down in price, I guess.
So I think we've determined
I've never had it played against me,
right.
But I'm sure that it can be now.
Yeah, have you ever played heavy combo?
Heavy combo? No.
Oh, I didn't think so, but that's essentially designed to
destroy
combo decks,
right?
Okay. Oh, yeah, maybe we could consider sideboarding that for whatever. Oh, yeah, there's one guy in the shop that plays Storm. It's so hard for tokens to interact with it.
I just realized they reprinted. Why did they reprint Guile?
Just because he's a really badass dude.
I guess. He is, but of all of the incarnations that needed reprinted, they needed to reprint.
The green one?
The green one, yeah.
Vigor.
Yeah, because Vigor is really popular and casual, and is just stupidly expensive.
Also, Guile's been reprinted multiple times before. He was reprinted in the Jace vs. Brass Pendulum deck as well.
Yep. He's in the Mono Blue C14.
Oh, he was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I owned one.
Oh, alright.
I did it for Magic the Jace. I'm not really sure. It's there, though.
I'm glad to see Overwhelming Stampede is back. That one's starting to climb in price, and you can never have enough of these for
the Green Commander. Yeah, people, know about Overrun, because people, refer to things like this as an Overrun effect. Yeah. Apparently, somebody, let the word out that there were more than just one of those, and Overwhelming Stampede started going out.
Yeah, Overwhelming Stampede is one I can never get enough of for my Commander decks. I'm always short. Mm.
And there's one other rare that I wanted to mention, but I got distracted by Guile. Oh, Hellkai Charger. In addition to being slightly upset because I literally just purchased one, and it has since gone down a little bit, is not super used at all.
And
it's not, really expensive either.
Well, if we had to put it in numbers, this is most of the set is for draft. But how much do we think is there to lower prices in Modern, or because they're Modern staples, maybe 10-15% maybe?
Right, I guess. Hellkai Charger just seems, I guess they are only going up to, Mirrodin the Siege block?
Yeah,
Mirrodin. Scars block, yeah. So they could, because if they're gonna reprint a rare dragon, they should reprint Thundermaw.
Yeah.
Because Thundermaw's actually used.
That'll be the next time to do one.
Oh, man.
And do you think they're going to skip a year before doing another M set, or do you think it's just this time next year we're going to be back on the
game? Oh, and then we want a Mastery set?
Yeah. I kind of think that they have to skip a year at this point, because, can you really keep up the hype and the $10 price packs if you're just doing it year after year?
I'm really, speaking of the $10 price plan, I'm really curious about the Sarah's most of this set, because given a lot of the, frankly, kind of bad possible rare pools, I'm curious how much the draft environment is going to kind of pop up the price for the set. If it sells well, then obviously you're going to be doing this. And they might be doing this either way, but I want to know if this is in comparison to the last Modern Masters, how it will actually do.
Well, have they said how much of this they're printing? Is it, exactly the same
amount? No, it's going to be, four times more.
Okay. That's good.
They haven't said exactly. I'm sorry. I don't want to mislead you, but they said they're going to print considerably more, and I think it'll be, 3 to 4 times more than 4.
Right. See, because, this set seems like it has as much, if not more, draw than the first Modern Masters. The first Modern Masters was a lot of people I hope I open a Tarmogoyf, but now you can be I hope I open a Tarmogoyf, or any of these other $40 cards that are in these packs.
You know what Modern Masters 2015 has really reminded me of? It's a very good comparison. Conspiracy Plus. I think it's going to follow a similar track to how the Conspiracy set did, both in its play and financially. That was a set people were really excited about when it came out. It had a really fun draft environment. It was built around at the time. It had a bunch of rares that were thrown in, literally just to decrease the price of them. But then the value of almost everything in the set tanked after a time, and it ended up not selling well, so it kind of got worn out in the draft environment. I know.
Except
that,
for fucking deck dumbass fading.
Correct.
I'm so upset that he's $20.
Yeah. But then people start buying the set.
For a Planeswalker with that limited of numbers available, that's actually not a bad price.
No, it's not terrible. But he's only used competitively in one vintage deck.
Yeah, but the just how rare he is to get a hold of, because
he's a mythic rare in a limited print set. Yeah.
Limited set where all the boxes haven't been opened yet.
Right. Yeah. I'm a little concerned, personally. Not concerned. I'm intrigued.
It was the intrigued set.
The thing that I'm intrigued about is the idea that, when they printed C-13, Commander 13, people are stupid shortening the name, the Mind Seize deck sold a whole bunch because of True Name Nemesis, and they didn't print a whole lot of it, sold out, and it ended up going way through the roof in price, even though the deck was bad. This is coming from someone who bought one. Deck not good. but then, subsequently, they said, the C-14, Commander 14 set, they're going to print, as many as people buy, we will keep printing these and putting new editions out.
There were more than people buy.
And no one cared. Because there wasn't really anything, the red deck was, the red and the white, I I think, were the ones that sold best because of, like, Wormcoil, who's now, like, a $6 card. And
which is great.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not anything against doing that.
In the white deck, I don't know if there was others, you possibly remind me, the new card they printed for that set?
Yeah, the Legacies. Seed that they put
in. Yeah, Flash Cleric.
Something Priest. Containment Priest.
Yeah. That's still over $10. I don't know the exact price.
Yeah, because people are actually using it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Legacy, it's getting play in sideboards. Mainly got the decks, I believe. Yeah. You can probably put it in any, like, white.
Okay, so we're
talking about, like, Hercule's Recall. For this set, actually seems relevant.
Yeah.
Because there's a large amount of artifacts. Let me check through the red rares, because I think we could just skip it over.
Yeah, I mean, if there are other rares we want to talk about, I'm certainly down.
I think literally the only red rare we haven't talked about is Wildcard.
Am I just missing it, or is there no, that goblin that means we get reprinted?
That goblin? Goblin guy?
Goblin guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, GG.
But Battle for Zendikar, we have another opportunity for this one.
If they print Goblin Guy in Zendikar, I will buy that set.
Dude, I'm worried. Everyone's gonna buy that set because full art lands are gonna come back.
Yep.
And this is, I'm making all the statements about, like, Mara's podcast based on not meeting expectations.
Right.
They know what we expect, hopefully.
Right.
There's an argument to be made for the other half of the fetch lands.
Right.
Yep.
At this point, I feel like I don't want to say it's not justified for them not to reprint them, but there's no longer, like, a stigma behind it because they reprinted the Onslaught fetches.
Yeah,
now that they've reprinted the other fetches, they could basically reprint the Zendikar fetches and it matters a lot less.
It matters to the decks I want to play.
Oh, right.
Playing the off-color ones does matter sometimes, but the thing is, like, I'm not upset to play off-color ones because people have done it for, like, 3 years before.
Right. When they only had
Zendikar. I'm just happy to have access to fetches now.
Yeah.
Right. The goal is access, not necessarily optimization.
Right.
As long as I can get more people into Modern, and generally off-color fetches can still do that, although not
Christmas. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, like, before it was, like, reprinting fetches was like the holy grail, right?
Yeah.
And they brought in the ones that we didn't expect them to reprint. I don't really know why. We're all just dumb, I guess. Now if they were like, yeah, we're going back to Zendikar, reprint Zendikar fetches, whatever. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm glad they reprinted the, like, Shocklands in RTR, so
yeah,
they have a precedent for doing it, so. Also, apparently I'm the minority in thinking that the new Shockland art is, like, leagues better than the old Shockland
art. I love the new Shockland art, but that, I think most of what happens with that is people love the art that they started with.
Yes, it's fair.
And yeah, that's why you have all the old heads are talking about how great classic Magic art is when clearly you have Stasis.
You do have Stasis, but I actually do really like old Magic art for the, like, sake of some of the wackier arts.
Like Mark Bullard.
It's not good branding. Like, it's just bad from a marketing standpoint. But, like, I love Phil Foglio, the guy who just does, like, really cartoony art.
Oh,
like,
maybe
he did
that's
the
what
original
I'm thinking
Recycle.
Of. What's the one where, like, the goblin's making soup and it's got, like, a boot in it?
Yeah, that's it's Recycle. And the guy just, like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
And they've shown that they can do that kind of humor
mm-hmm.
just as well with modern art. Like,
with, like, hot soup.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like, and I'm perfectly happy with it. I don't want them to go back to classic Magic art. I'm just glad that it exists so that I have options. Like, I can, like, if I want to, be like, I would like to use the old Recycle art because it's, like, funny.
I'm not against them changing arts.
Because
modern arts could change. Although, I will say, they're reprinting Johnny Magic's card. And once again, they've made the decision that this should not have a person's likeness on it.
No.
That we know.
Right.
Because, like, they've changed a Bob or Dark Confidant.
Yeah.
Now they're changing, what's the name of his card? Void Mage Infiltrator or something like that? Or something.
Shadow Mage.
Shadow
Mage Infiltrator. Yeah.
Did you read his article about that when he spoiled it? Because it was hysterical.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. They put up an article on Gatherer that was all about how he, like, kind of regrets making the card because it's never seen constructed play anywhere. The whole article is him talking about how, like, the card isn't actually good. Don't put it in a modern deck because
right.
it's bad.
Oh.
But please draft the card and get me to sign it and maybe it'll have a home. It was really amusing.
Yeah.
It's nice, but it's also sad that Wizards has to like parade these guys out and be like, look, they won this great prize, and now we're just going to jerk it out from underneath them a little bit with the art.
Yeah. The article said that there was actually another card that he wanted to get printed. Oh, I remember what it was. The original card that he wanted made was a rat. It was the same color combination as Supreme Verdict, but instead of not being able to be countered, he wanted the Wrath to untap four lands. And this was right coming off of Combo Winter, so they were just like, no.
Yeah, you can go fuck yourself. With your free Wrath.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just did not talk about the multicolored rares. If there are any that you want to talk about.
Good on Electrolyze coming back. Niv-Mizzet, what are you doing in the set?
Yeah, it's weird that they reprinted Niv-Mizzet, but they did also... I mean, they have three kind of neat, commander, legendary creature reprints.
Mystic Stank sees a lot of...
Mystic Stank is awesome, and I'm so excited. I didn't know that it was reprinted until just now, and I almost shit so hard I rocketed off the chair.
Has it always been a rare?
Yeah.
It's such a funny card to, like, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, blue-green is good enough, really. this card doesn't need to exist, but I just love, like, it's a fucking counterspell, and we've had a grizzly bear.
In, like, a weird coincidence, from a broader perspective, I have no idea why they reprinted the old version of the Ghost Council or Zoga.
Oh, because we're not up to a Return to Ravnica yet, the reprints of MTM.
Well, yeah, but, no, I mean... I meant old version. Why did they even put this one in the set?
Okay, gotcha. Why even put it in there?
But in a weird coincidence, I actually am looking for one for my queue, so I guess I'm going to get one.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just really fun and limited.
Maybe it is.
I guess what he is he's the big daddy spirit for the spirit deck.
Yeah, I guess a sack outlet for the spirit deck would be very useful, though I'm not sure how the flickering... I'll learn about this as the sets get drafted.
Good. Also, I mean, Apocalypse Hydra is a cool reprint because it has art that it features a Hydra eating an angel.
That's an angel?
I think so. It's a chick with wings. Usually it's an angel.
I didn't know if it was a person from this
did
distance.
Did he actually get a hold of one? Because I see her flying at him like she's going to attack. But I don't
well, then she's got an open mouth that's larger than her.
What is that? Is that an angel?
Is he chomping on another one?
In top left.
This is our classic Pillar Field Talks about art.
Yeah, some of these other spells are pretty good. Electrolyze coming through, that's cool. Agony Warp, maybe get a new appreciation for that. That guy.
Wait, Agony Warp's one of those cards that's just like fun as shit to play in limited stuff.
I don't know why. What's that guy called?
Aethercast Knight?
Aethercast?
It works with the Aethercast next deck. Works with it much less well and much less interesting faster than Glass Dust Hulk, but.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, some shit. Necrogenesis is a fun card.
New Pillory of a Sleepless art.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool looking.
It's neat art. Except I don't know what's going on with his hands a little bit.
Because they got the cool Mox Opal here.
Oh yeah. Mox Opal, which I think we did call
it. We did call that. Yeah, of course everybody and their mother called it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Weird, why did they spend the time to make this new Edge Champion art?
It's just like, let's make them gold, change the background, and
It's like they had it, and I guess the original art, he was in kind of some shadows that made his color not all that light, and so they just shifted the camera around. And they're like, here's the new art right there. Nailed it. Yeah. Mox Opal, though, God, needed a reprint.
Oh,
so bad. Also, lending a little bit of credence to your theory that the Zendikar versus Eldrazi dual deck will have Ithed Betrays in it.
Yeah.
They did not reprint it, and they did reprint Artisan and Crusher. So that's like all of the major Eldrazis have been now reprinted except that one.
And Pathrazer.
Nobody plays Pathrazer. I'm sure people play
Pathrazer. They didn't put Pathrazer and Ithed Betrays will be in the set. I'm guessing Ithed Betrays is the one that's going to be the new art foil in front of the set.
That would make me buy the set because Big Steelies. Yeah. We talked about a lot of these.
Sunforger? Weird.
Yeah, they're just unneeded and weird.
I feel like Sunforger is put in there so that, like, people who have just started playing EDH, thanks to the, sets that have come out, will see Sunforger and be like, that card is cool. And hopefully put it in decks like everyone should if you're running a red white deck.
I'm glad that Spellskite's getting a reprint. Always want more of those.
Yeah. Spellskite is one of those cards that, like, a lot of decks need and therefore has like jumped up significantly.
Yeah.
It's never been like bank breaking, but it's always been, like you said, uncomfortable.
Well, now that they're giving David Cornette a reprint, you need to have that for a fight baubles.
Yeah, just to take all of their enchantments. Oh, good times. Darksteel Axe is the best card. Ever printed. It's the best.
Okay.
Sphere is nice that they have it at common. You open some, maybe?
Yeah, we talked about Dart Ramping. We said already. Everything down here is just like, just skip through it unless there's something that really catches your eye.
Yeah.
Hooray, we talked about it. Okay, lands. It's cool that,
Ivoogan.
Oh, I don't care about these. Like these old Drowsy Temples. These old like Ivoogan. Like yeah. I don't. They're so far outside my playstyle that I personally don't care about them.
Right. I did need a reprint, but in Nexus.
I don't know why Darksteel Citadel is in here. Is it just to make Darksteel Plate better?
Just running it again.
Yeah. There's no reason for Darksteel Plate. There's nothing that turns it into a creature and makes it. Wait. The Mythic Rare. He'll turn it into a creature, perhaps.
Planeswalker?
Tezzeret, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, it's just useless.
It's just for Metalcraft. It's just a draft Metalcraft in England.
Yeah, okay.
It also does seem like the fact they printed Darksteel Citadel twice in the past 2 years has been like a. It's just like, hey, do you remember that we banned all of the good artifact lands?
Well, guess what? We left one for you, and you're gonna love it.
You play every day. You turn it into scissors. if you were 14.
I'm glad that they're bringing a Blink Moth in here. It's nice that they have like a substantial rare land, and of course I'm just coughing in the eye of Ivoogan.
But of course, this makes Ink Moth. It's gonna fly past $20 if it hasn't already.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they're saving that for the next, I don't know, modern money grab.
I could have sworn.
But you look at the chat.
And those. So that's Modern Masters.
Yep. We probably skipped a lot, but you didn't want to hear us talk about it anyway.
Yeah. That's probably true.
You readers that hate us and our voices.
But yet you keep coming back for more, so we love you, Sadus. Yeah.
This is probably, like, a lot of people's first podcast that we're listening to. It's just like... I didn't come back for shit. Fuck these guys.
at least write us some hate mail. I'm still waiting, guys.
Yeah, he's really excited about hate mail.
Yeah.
He wants that to roll.
I'll know if it's fake, too.
we didn't talk about All is Dust. All is Dust is a good card.
Who cares?
All right, done. Check.
Yeah, done. Good. Downgraded from Mythic to Rare. Also, it makes it gooder.
Yeah, gooder.
Gooder.
It's gooder.
Gooder.
So, anything else you want to talk about?
We were talking about playing Modern earlier.
That's true.
I want to advocate my Mardu tokens deck I've been playing. It's got Bitter Blossom, Lingering Souls, copy of Secure the Waste. I'm trying out Mardu Charm. I have no idea how it works yet. I haven't got a chance to play it. Intangible Virtue is the only pump spell, and then it's just like loads of removal. And then two or three copies of Falcon Wrath Aristocrat to really make a big push towards the end. Oh, yeah, and then Sorum Solemn Visitor is a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
your next turn is a great line of text.
I think that the only thing that I think everyone is aware that I only play Merfolk in Modern, and I've certainly talked about it before. The only change is the fact that I'm now building the Grand Merfolk deck with Grand Architect and Worm Coil Engines, so we'll see how that goes. That's mostly just because I like casting Worm Coil Engines. It's just a thing that I like to do.
Make sure you get it ready before the 5th and 6th of next month, June.
For Origins.
For Origins, yep. There's going to be a Star City Games Modern event going on there. I'm excited. Hopefully draft a little bit there, too. I just love drafting. Also, I'll be drafting some Dice Masters as well. They have a rainbow draft that they do where you just open packs. You put all the dice in the middle so you can see what's available dice-wise. Because they have vertical rarities, just like in Hero Clicks.
Right.
And you can draft based on that limited information you get while passing around. So far, the DC set's been real fun. I've drafted it once. And we hope to see some people up there that know us.
Right.
Want to buy us beers.
Yeah.
Pick our brains about like the amazing amount of information we have.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like Perry said something about this on the follow-up to the April Fool's Day. But I wanted, but I think he said he wanted people to take the set symbol that I made for Arabian Nights 2 and put it on some fake cards and submit it. I just don't think we have the, like, the base, the beaver base for that. Yeah.
Okay. If you want to make a fake card with our Arabian Nights 2 symbol and send it to us, because this is something we want to revisit, is I like to make... I would like to make the April Fool's Day episode like an alternate universe that we check in with from time to time.
Right.
Like, you remember the Gary Busey tech we had where you just 70... Well, it was like almost entirely...
Yeah, 72 strips of beef jerky and 3 copies of Necrophones.
Yeah, I'd like to revisit that and say that like the reason he didn't win that tournament is because he was under 60 cards of his starting deck by the end of it because he kept eating his jerky.
Yeah, the sideboard is okay, even though in I think we said it was 1998, so they actually did have to have a full 15 card sideboard. But in the alternate timeline, that rule didn't exist, and he was just slowly eating through the sideboard as the game went on.
It was like, did you present a 58 card deck? Or a 58 jerky deck? It's like, I don't know. You'll have to read it.
Yeah, that was a bloodbath.
Just for confirmation, the 2 from the set symbol is in fact from the like second printing of the Pokemon set.
Oh yes, it is.
Thank you.
Base set 2. That's why it's funny to me.
I knew there were vague memories of my childhood in that particular stylization of the number 2. I wanted to confirm their existence.
Yeah, it was certainly not a difficult thing to make. I just really think it's funny. you like compiled a list of topics to talk about, didn't you?
Yeah, which is mostly just like things about the modern stuff. So we've already hit all that stuff.
Oh, cool. Well,
Hey, listeners, why don't you write in to us at pillarfieldtalks@gmail.com, or you can get a hold of us at pillarfieldtalk at Twitter. In order to let us know what your favorite fast food restaurant is and why. We're eagerly awaiting your response, so check us out next time.
Oh, it's Matt. Hi, Matt. Matt, would you like to say anything to people who play Magic the Gathering?
Yeah. No, I don't play Magic.
okay, so we should because you don't play Magic, you don't want to speak to people who play Magic? Is that what you're saying?
I'd speak to them, but I don't know what to say. I mean, hi.
That's good.
Yeah,
they can't respond yet.
Dude, they're not impressed by that.
We've moved beyond the rest of culture.
Well, I mean, this is my first time, you know, speaking to them, so I need to start off with something...
introductory.
Yeah.
Something intentionally personal.
Yeah.
Tell them about the first time your dad hit you.
Are we getting in there? Let me grab a...
Well,
that's an immediate way to make a human connection.
Right, yeah. Make up a story.
Do all Magic players, either dads hit them?
That's why we start playing.
Okay. We need access to the spells to be able to stop
the punishment. You hide in the fantasy world to escape the real one, yeah.
This got dark.
I'm getting a little worried.
Yeah, you should be. You should be.
Okay, yeah, you don't have to tell the story. Yeah.
You can instead just get the fuck out of that. Just leave.
Okay.
Just get out of your own house right now.
You can just tell them your favorite fast food restaurant. They'll get into that. Favorite fast food restaurant?
Favorite fast food restaurant?
Yeah, fast food. It's got to be bad for you.
You are.
Oh, it's got to be Taco Bell.
Well, that's just fast food in general. You can if you can try your best to do a healthy fast food.
It's Wendy's or Taco Bell.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a Taco Bell kind of guy myself.
I love Wendy's. Yeah. But I love those soft, spicy tacos. Those are a little weak spot for me.
And Doritos love those.
Wendy's also
playing college students all love Taco Bell.
Wendy's took a big hit in my opinion recently because they discontinued their Frosty shakes, which were amazing.
Oh,
yeah, they still sell it. I got one like every time I went to Wendy's for like 4 years.
Is that Frosty?
It is. They make it. They put like it's more a Frost. I don't know what the hell they
do. Have you ever tried to drink a Frosty? Because I have, and it's not pleasant.
Oh yeah, you put the straw in there, and you just suck, and nothing happens.
And it just compresses.
Yeah, the straw collapses. Right.
But whenever you were just at the end of a Frosty, it was like all liquid by then. That was always awesome.
Yeah, that shit's great. They somehow solved the icy problem, where once you get to the end of it, it's just like garbage. Frosty is like, they reversed that process.
Real
you could just sit it down, and then when it goes to the end, that's when it's the best.
Yeah.
Does anyone here happen to own, like, a metal straw? I'm curious, because that seems like it would be required if you're going to try and drink Frosty.
We used to sell that when I worked at a gas station.
Metal straw.
It was a metal straw. They were like $2.
Were they for cocaine?
They were way too big. You would overdose immediately.
I don't know what this metal straw is for. It's like, do you want to drink coffee?
No, I know what it's for. I forgot. It's the way that it was marketed. This is great fucking podcast material, actually. The way that it was marketed was, you would, like, put the straw in, like, the freezer, and then you could drink, like, a warm drink, and it would chill it by the time it got to your mouth.
For, like, the first two sips, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I cannot confirm or deny if that actually worked.
That would have to be a really thick, well-insulated metal straw, which I don't think it was.
I'm guessing these are more
because they were selling them at a gas station.
Projecting.
Okay, I'm glad you found the actual use, because I was absolutely certain that there was not enough of a market for people who wanted to attempt to drink the Wendy's frosting.
At Burger King, if you get a milkshake, they gave you like a thick blue straw. That was called the BK pipe. Fucking no lie. The BK pipe was my life.
Was it written on there?
Yeah, look at the straw paper.
Someone just have to tell you?
Like, here's this. It's a BK pipe. Don't mince words.
At Burger King, I feel like they would do something like that. Right.
It's like, we need to get this into you faster.
Right. But at Burger King, you can't buy your food with love. So.
Where can you, Chad?
I'm going to cry.
At Burger King, it's more of like, let's go to the restroom kind of thing.
That kind of love.
Yeah, take the manager into the restroom.
You pay for your fast food. Bag of grease. And then the BK pipe. He's on the pipe again. Well, that was the Matt segment, everybody. Bam, 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 bam.
All your fast food discussion. Yeah.
That's some good. That's post roll right there.
My bad. Come back. Make sure you have a good fast food topic to talk about.
Okay.
I don't listen to anything
or
else
some
to say.
Other
Dude, we're
going to
talk Chinese when it comes
topic.
Back. Yeah, you can probably put it in any point. Hey, what's your favorite fast food restaurant?
Yeah, you guys have it's a roll.
That's an uncommon answer. I'm okay with it.
It is.
I just remember all the hype about like their political stances.
Oh, right, I guess there's
that. Their food's really good, so.
Yeah, so it's okay then.
Yeah.
It's an honest answer. It's an honest answer, and that's what really matters.
Right. We're glad you're okay with systemized oppression.
It's only 20 cents out of the meal I buy going to prevent them from being happy. That's all.
Sure. Shannon, by the way, is the name of the person.
Right.
Shannon.
Shannon. That was the Shannon segment.
Oh, you're recording me?
Yes.
Are we supposed to state that before?
No.
Okay.
What's your favorite fast food restaurant right now? Derek. Favorite fast food restaurant.
This is the Derek segment.
You don't have one? How do you not have one?
I think it is like 1v5 guys.
It's 5 guys fast food.
Yeah.
All right, 5 guys. Okay. Yeah. All right,
5 guys.
I mean,
it's a little
bigger,
rich guy.
If you've ever eaten at McDonald's in Westover, it's just the same thing.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. And they've jumped on the incredibly awesome new Coke machine bandwagon. You hate that thing?
Yeah.
Do you like, what is your opinion? Because your opinion is all that matters.
Did you like just wake up? So this is like a... Well, yeah, I don't like... I've worked midnight, so normally I sleep till like 6 p.m. I'm not joking. Yeah. I'm just like, because like you just like woke up, walked out here, and we're like, which favorite fast food restaurant? We're, for the record, this is Derek, by the way.
I'm still catching up. yeah, I like a good remix. You know, where else can you get Coke Lime?
Well,
nowhere.
Yeah, but I mean, Coke Lime sucks.
Mix it with a little bit of cherry Coke, and you have a cherry Coke Lime.
That does sound pretty...
Yeah, you only have options with the new Coke machine. You always get more.
But it's like the same, like...
Although, I will say that their cherry Coke does not taste as the same as cherry Coke you would get out of a bottle.
Right.
It's not as good to me. But, that being said, if you don't care so much about that, you can get more of it. I love getting Peach Fanta. Peach Fanta out of that is awesome. Peach Fanta out of a bottle is not.
That's true. I've never been a big Fanta type of guy. But yeah. Yeah. Good input.
Good input, Tara.
Yeah.
What's in the boxes?
Watches are gonna get working. Oh.
All right.
Sure.
Batteries and whatnot.
Have fun with that.
I will. I'll be back. Is it a podcast?
It is, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
End of the Derek segment.